It's good to be here this morning once again to worship with you, to preach to you, to open God's Word. Pray that you'll be blessed. Again, if you're visiting with us this morning, we're glad that you're here. Come back. We're here every Sunday. We've got a good church, great group of people. How wonderful it is the Lord has worked since this church was started. Some of the original people are here today. They've been here a while. How the Lord has grown this church, changed this church. We're building a building, but one of the encouragements to me is I can look around in Perth and even in other countries and see young men and women who've come through this church who are living for Christ, wherever they are. That's amazing. That's church growth, where the Lord is using that, using this church. So we continue in our Exodus series. God's people have, as we talked about last night, they've gathered before Mount Sinai. They're entering into a covenant with Yahweh, their deliverer. They are now the people of God, and He will determine, He will say how they're to live. They'll be a holy nation, a nation of priests, and they will be different, and they are to be different from the nations around them. And God is giving them His law. And the first Ten Commandments, we talk about them as the first table of the law. The first four commandments have to deal with man's relationship to God, and the next ones have to deal with man's relationship to man. Kind of goes along when they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Well, that's the first four. And love your neighbor as yourself, which Ray will expound next week. How to love others. That's the summary of the law. Those are the first tables of the law. How we're to act towards them. We have a covenant distinctive. Really a covenant distinctive. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. See, the other nations didn't do that. No other nation set apart a day and said to remember the Lord, a day to rest, a day to worship. They didn't set those things apart. But God is telling His people, you are different. You are different. And some of them probably thought, that's great, because as slaves, we never had a day off. We never got a day off. Now we get a day off, a day to rest, a day to honor the Lord. Within the church, since the beginning, as we'll see, there's always been discussions. There have always been arguments, pretty sharp arguments. Well, what does this mean? How are we to live this way? At the Westminster Divines, where the Westminster Confession of Faith was put together back in 1646 and 1647, this is part of the constitution of our church, of the Westminster Presbyterian Church of Australia. The Sabbath is to be kept holy unto the Lord. When men, after due preparing of their hearts and ordering their common affairs beforehand, do not only observe holy rest all the day of their own works, words, and thoughts about their worldly employments and recreations, but also are taken up in the whole time in the public and private exercise of this worship, in the duties of necessity and mercy. So there was when the Westminster Divines were put together, there were two groups. There was a Puritan group, which held to this, and there was a group from Europe, they called them the Continental View, that said, no, we don't have to be this strict, but we can do other things besides work on the Sabbath. We can do recreation, we can do other things. And it's interesting that part of the reason this was written, we'll come back to this, was because of this book. Charles I had written a book called The Book of Sports. And the king told them, you need to recreate more. Here's a list of things you can do. Here's the things you should do on Sunday. Do more recreation. He was encouraging people and not to really to go to church, but to go out and to play and to do certain sports and pastimes and recreations on the Lord's Day. Parliament actually ordered this book burned. They didn't agree with it. They ordered this book to be burned in 1643. But it was the Puritans who would really take the field when they wrote the Westminster Confession of Faith and put this thing together. Again, the continental view, God doesn't forbid other things. But they went out in the final writing of the Westminster Confession of Faith. So what are we to do? Which view are we to take? Are we still under this rule, under this law? Are we to be take what's known as a Sabbatarian view, you know, only deeds of mercy, deeds of worship, deeds of necessity, it's all we can do? Or can we do other things? There's an older gentleman in our church back in Louisiana, Mr. Gilbert. I think I used this illustration a few years ago, but he had a dilemma one day. Mr. Gilbert really practiced the Sabbath. Now, he was a dairy farmer, so he'd already been up early, had to milk his cows early, and he milked them late. But between then, he came to church. He went home. He usually kept his Sunday clothes on, he and his wife. And he would read God's word. He would pray. He would rest because he needed the rest before he went out to milk the cows again that night. But one Sunday, he had a dilemma. He was going to have surgery on his knee the next day. And he remembered that there were some bees that had gotten under some boards in the corner of his house, and he really wanted to get them out. He really needed to do this before surgery because he wouldn't be able to do it for a few weeks. And it was bothering him because he knew he needed to get it done. So what did he do? He picked up the phone and he called the pastor. And he said, "Hey, here's my problem. I've got some bees in here. Can I get them out? Can I do that work?" And he said, "Well, I'd call that a deed of necessity. Yes, you can do that." So he was able to get the bees out and have his surgery with a clear conscience. How do we look at the Sabbath? How do you look at it? We look at the Sabbath sometimes as a bunch of rules. We look at it as what we can't do, as what we can't do, what we're not supposed to do, what we shouldn't do. Are we sinning if we turn on our computer, watch a movie, go out to eat? Those different things. But God never intended the Sabbath to be this way. He never intended it to be a list of rules and commands that we can't do. He intends it to be positive. He intends it to be positive. And that's what I want us to look at as we look at this command this day. I may not answer every question. There's a saying that the old rabbi says, there are 10,000 questions asked about the Sabbath. There are always lots of questions about the Sabbath. We're going to look at a number of scriptures. I'll post my sermon notes online. I tried this morning, but they wouldn't go on. So if you need to look through any of these again as we look into this, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Sunday. We thank you for instituting the Sabbath, O Lord. One, so we can be more like you, that we can rest from our labors. Lord, help us as we look through this to determine what we will do on a Sabbath, how to enjoy it, how to be blessed by it. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to look at the commandment in them, and then we'll look at the commandment in us, and then we'll go to the book of Hebrews and see if it can give us some insight on how we're look at the Lord's day. So this command is a positive. It's not a prohibitive commandment. It's not a negative, but it's positive and to be a blessing to them and to us. It's unique, again, as I said, to Israel. You're a holy people. You're a holy people. You've been set apart for me. You're different from all of the other nations. And so on the Sabbath day, the last day of the week, which we would say is Saturday, you are not to work. You're to be set apart. You're to be different. So when the other nations looked at them, they would say, that nation doesn't look. They don't work on Saturday. Why is that? Because they're different. Because they're holy unto the Lord. The Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word meaning to cease or to desist, to rest. We've already seen it, although it wasn't defined in this way. We saw it when, remember when they had to gather manna? What did the Lord tell his people? Not on the Sabbath, not on the seventh day. You don't gather. You gather two portions on the day before. And he told them it would be a Sabbath unto you. The Sabbath also reflects God's pattern in creation. On the seventh day, God rested, not because he was tired, although we get tired, we need that rest, but he rested because it was finished, it was complete, it was good. He could look and say, this is good. He was complete. His creation was finished in that day. So God rested on that. It was ready. The world was ready for man. So this commandment is tied to the creation pattern. It's tied to creation. And we as imagers of God, we who are created in God's image, need to remember this pattern. Because it's a pattern that God set up. He rested on the seventh day and made it a Sabbath. It was also a sign of the Mosaic covenant. It was a sign of the covenant where God said to his people, this will be a sign between you and me throughout your generations. You may know that I am the Lord, that I sanctify you. And then down in verse 16, therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath through their generations at a covenant forever. It's a sign forever between me and the people of Israel. And in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. And on the seventh day, he rested. On the seventh day, he rested. So it's a sign of the covenant. What have we seen already as far as signs? Well, with Noah, we had what? What was the sign of the covenant there with Noah? The rainbow. Put the rainbow. With Abraham, the sign was circumcision, and this sign was still in force. So now as we come to Sinai, as the Mosaic covenant, as we call it, is put in, the sign will be the Sabbath. You will keep my people. It's a sign of your covenant. And even your animals to rest. You know, even your animals were to rest on that day. So keeping the Sabbath was what? It was a reminder to them also of what? Of their covenant God who delivered them. It was a reminder of their salvation, of their deliverance. They can rest now. They're no longer slaves. They're no longer being oppressed. They can rest in God who has delivered them and who will provide. And the thing is for us today. There were some activities that were permitted. You can see the list there. Military campaigns, marriage feast, visiting a man of God. Interesting. Changing the temple guards. Everything around the temple had to still work. Opening the east gate. Not exactly sure what it was, but Ezekiel says that you could open the east gate on that. So all these things God does what? He sets apart a people for himself. He sets apart a people for himself. And you are to be different. Well, what about these commandments and us? What about these commandments and us? What about in the New Testament? By the time of Jesus, a religious system had grown up around the temple and the synagogues. There were rules and rules and rules and rules and more rules. The Mishnah, hundreds of rules, 39 volumes of rules at least that they had to follow. And there were Sabbath rules aplenty. You could only take so many steps on the Sabbath on Sunday. You can only travel so far from your home on Sunday. But there were sometimes ways around this. See, you could establish a new residence by maybe leaving your coat there. Oh, that's my new home. And now I can keep going. Or if you took food somewhere and put it down, that also established a new place, a new home, so you could walk a little further. If you just had enough coats on and things like that, you could travel around. So there were some ways around some of this. But you couldn't do things like, there was no baking to be done. Remember, they couldn't bake during the Exodus. There was no harvesting. There was no lighting a fire. There was no carrying a load. There was no writing. You weren't supposed to buy anything or sell anything. You know, today this is still practiced by many devout and Orthodox Jews. There are such things as Sabbath elevators. Sabbath elevators in many cities. New York City has plenty of them. You click it over into Sabbath mode, and it stops on every floor because it's work to push the button. They consider it to be work to push the button, so it stops on every floor. It might take you a while to get up, but you're not working. You're not working. You're not going to work anyway. But Sabbath rules. So what about the commandment in us? What about Jesus and the Sabbath. What about Jesus and the Sabbath? Jesus said, don't think I've come to establish the law, the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, to fulfill them. Jesus validates the law, and he fulfills the law by living a perfect life, by keeping the Sabbath laws perfectly. So he fulfilled all the requirements of the law for us. He fulfilled it. All the Sabbath requirements have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus' disciples are questioned what? They're questioned, if you remember, about picking grain on the Sabbath. And Jesus answers, remember David? Even King David, whom we all revere, needed bread and ate when he ate the bread when he came into the temple. He broke the rules when he needed to. The Sabbath, he tells them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What he's saying there is this: the Sabbath is not meant to be a burden to man. It's not meant to oppress you. It's not meant to be a burden to you. It's meant to be a blessing to you. They were so into rules. Jesus says, you've forgotten the humanness of the law, that the Sabbath was meant to be a blessing. Jesus heals on the Sabbath, and they get infuriated. They get mad. It shows the extent of how they'd forgotten what the Sabbath was really about, that Jesus was to heal on that. You're to show mercy on the Sabbath. They couldn't see it because they were so caught up in what they weren't supposed to do. So Jesus changes things. It's not about rules. It's about people. I am the Lord of the Sabbath, he says. I have the ruler over the Sabbath. I have the right to change this. I have the right to say what you can do on the Sabbath because I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And then what does Paul say? Paul and the Sabbath. Sabbath, it's not mentioned as much in the epistles thing as you think it would be, but it is mentioned. The Lord's Day was replacing the Sabbath this time for Christians. The Sabbath is on Saturday. Then they were meeting when? On the Lord's Day, which was Sunday. The church, again, was moving from meeting on Saturday to Sunday. Sunday becomes the Sabbath. In Acts 2:46, Jerusalem believers were meeting daily in the temple courts and in the homes and sharing bread. So they